Well, this evening we're going back into our study of the life of Christ, and we're into the area of the healing ministry of Jesus, which is a very large part of his ministry. In fact, his ministry existed of really teaching, preaching, and healing. That was his a major part of his ministry. I really enjoy the healing ministry of Jesus. I think because when I first got born again, that was one of the things that the Lord really dealt with me a lot on is his healing ministry about the subject of healing. It was really, to me, was a really revolutionizing to the fact because of growing up in a church world and going to church all the time and all that kind of things. And those are things they never talked about. They were just stories that they told. There was no reality to it. They never expected any of it to ever happen. And if it did, everybody was shocked that, you know, anything happened. What happened in life, they weren't sure if it was God, the devil, or just somebody else did something. They didn't know. It was just sort of just out there. When I started to learn about his healing ministry and understanding about faith, it really changed my life. And God really did a lot of teaching to me in this area. It was one of the things that I've said many times, and I'll keep saying it. If anything, the Lord wants his people, ones who are born again or his children, he wants them well. And you need to get that. You need to understand that. That needs to be something that you never question. Because if that's a question to you, whether God wants you well, you're never going to really come to faith and enjoy it. You're not going to enjoy it. Amen. You've got to be convinced that it's his will for you to be well. Not, you know, don't matter how much you want something, you can't get what you want just because you want it. You have to know that he wants you to have it. And there's only one way that your faith can operate is if you believe that he wants you to have it. Other than that, you have no place to stand. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, we have to know what he said on the subject. And there's one thing, if you actually really study the subject, you will find out he wants you well. Just like he wants everybody, he's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. It's like I always looked at the ministry of Jesus. Never one time did he tell a person that he wanted them sick. He never said, God wants you sick. He never at any time ever implied there was any other than the will of God for men to be well. And so I always appreciate that fact. Hallelujah. Because to me, I look at that as one of the, you know, God saved us, but he wants us blessed in this life, right here, right now. And so, you know, it's one of the things that he wants to do for us to enjoy. He loves his people, has wonderful things for them, and healing is one of those wonderful things. And so you need to get that in your mind and in your thinking. One of the things you got to get out of your mind is this. God did not give us doctors. There's nowhere in the scripture. Now, I want you to know, nothing wrong with doctors, even though God didn't give us doctors any more than he gave us auto mechanics. Or any more than he gave us any other things that men can do. Those things, God gave us mind and the ability and wisdom to do things. Some people are good at some certain things. The fact that somebody is good at in the areas of medicine, but there's a lot that aren't good at areas of medicine that are in it. There's a lot of things goes on out here. In just the same way, in any field, there are people who are really good at it and people who might be in the field who might not be good at it. All of it's like that. But God gives men wisdom, and it never tells us, well, he gave us this person or that person to specifically to do this thing or, you know, to make this thing. Understand this. You have wisdom and gain. You know, you've probably taken your own life. How many numbers of things you might be good at? You might have certain things that you're like the best at, but your wisdom and your things you learn, you become good at things. And there may have numbers of things that you're very good at doing. And, that's part of God's wisdom. I it's one of the things there's different things that I wanted to learn to do that I was not very good at. But when I found out and I got saved, I started making statements about things I'm going to learn to do this. This is what I'm going to learn to do. And I learned to do things, you know. When I came along, I bought my first computer. I didn't know nothing about computers. I didn't have a clue. And I found out everybody around me didn't know nothing about a computer. And anything happened to a computer, everybody had to haul them off to somebody. And you didn't have your computer for a while. And I just got this in my mind. I thought, well, if I'm going to run an office with a computer, I can't take my computers to somebody and not have it for a week or two. Can't do that. Because everything comes to a stop. So I decided, I'm going to learn about computers. I just decided I was going to, and I just said, well, so I started reading up and things and all this stuff was new to me, But you know, I just kept saying, well, I'm going to understand how to do this. And you know what? God gave me understanding on how to do it. And I read it, and after a while, I can tell you this. I never had a period of time where my computers had to be hauled off to somebody to do something to them. All these years. I learned to do things. I learned to take care of stuff, what to do about stuff, and been blessed in it. So it's just one of those things. I wasn't born and, you know, I didn't have a special gift of God for computer. I didn't have that. But God did give me intelligence, and He gave you intelligence. So be careful about what you say about yourself, what you can't do, because you just put an area in your life that God can't reach you in because you said He cannot. Be very careful about that. One day you might need wisdom in an area, and you have been saying for the last 20 years, you can't do that. So be careful about what you say. Using your faith, speaking about things, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got to get around where we believe that. It's not just another nice saying. But you might come down to the place, you know, that you're going to have to learn to just to do something. You're going to have to be in a situation. You might be in a tough situation and you just need to know how to do something. And God, I thank you, you're going to help me do this.
Amen.
I have had that happen numbers of times, not knowing about a thing and say, God, I just need help in this area. Well, I need to know how to figure this out. I need to know what to do. And thank God, you have inside of you the genius and He lives in you.
Amen.
Rely on Him. He's not going to tell you just spiritual things. He'll show you things about this life and make you look smart.
Amen.
He knows everything. Everything. Hallelujah. And I'm glad because Ed don't know everything. Hallelujah for one who does. Praise God. We're going to go in tonight. I'm going to go to Luke, the fifth chapter. We're going to read here in a ministry of Jesus and His healing. There's wonderful things we can learn from these areas, about the areas of healing, but also concerning the ministry, God's ministry to people. And these will help us because we're looking at individuals. We're dealing with the areas of faith. Because you're going to find out that these things where people individually get healed deals in the areas of faith. And it'll show you how individuals acted on their faith. Their faith. Jesus, you know, is because we find people, you know, that Jesus ministered. He said, like in the woman with the issue of blood, your faith made you whole. Jesus didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith did it. And just as if her faith can, your faith can do the same thing for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, everybody gets into a situation where you can't maybe wait to get to somebody. You need help now. If you ain't never been there, you ain't never lived my life. I had situations. I needed help now. I couldn't wait for the evangelist to come to town. I couldn't wait to go to someplace. But I found out faith worked. And so I want you to understand this. Your faith in God will work for you. And so get that mind in you, your faith will work. So in Luke, the fifth chapter, we're going to start at verse 1. But we're going to look at this incident that took place here in Jesus' ministry. Luke, in the fifth chapter, verse 1 starts in, verse 17. It says, now it happened at a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of God was present to heal them. Now, I want you to see this. Now, these comments, specifically he mentions here, there's this group, they are Pharisees, there are teachers. They have came from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So some of them have come from a distance away to come to this where he's at. Now, I want you to get this. It ends the verse and says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, we know they didn't know it as you go on the story. It says it was present to heal them. We don't even find out that one of them ever got healed. Just because God's power is present don't mean you're going to get healed. See, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me in ministering to people, He said I was supposed to talk to them about this. See, God is present everywhere. God's present. Right now, you know, we came here, you know, driving here, God was present. All along the way, God's present. Now, I know this. The Spirit of God lives in me. But God is everywhere. Understand this. You might not sit, you might grasp the whole diff. There is no distance in the spirit realm. That's how God is present spiritually all the time. There is no distance. You see, this is one thing is we don't understand. When we try to figure out the spirit realm from our mental standpoint, God in scripture and God talking to us talks to us mostly from the way that we understand. Not from the way lots of times things in the spirit maybe really are. But he's trying to convey to us things and he relates them just like, you know, when Jesus came along and he gave parables to things people understood here. He took spiritual principles and tried to imply them to us. That doesn't mean it's exactly in the spirit is exactly that way. See, it's hard for people to understand that there's no distance in the spirit. See, people talk about going in the spirit realm and traveling. You don't travel in the spirit realm. You can be anywhere at any time. Figure that one out. Get that in your mind. You know, is dealing with stuff. If they weren't, you know, we couldn't pray and take authority over spirits operating in Washington. We'd have to go there. How can you do that? Because in the spirit realm, I'm present everywhere, just like those spirits are. They're where I am. See, my spirit is in contact with everything that's in the spirit realm. Understand about, get a hold of that yourself about that. So getting in contact with God, when it comes to healing, and the Lord said to me, you tell people that God's present. And if God's present, is healing present? Healing is present everywhere. See, what we do is, we do a lot of teaching and wrote a lot of books on about getting in the presence of God, when really what they should be saying, I think would be more helpful, is to say it this way. We want the presence of God to manifest. It is everywhere. What we want to do is find out what we need to do to cause the Spirit of God to manifest for us. Now, one thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be in faith. Number one, get in faith that God is present. Quit trying. People talk about searching for God. We're not searching for God. God's not hidden if you're operating in faith. He's never hidden from you. He's not hidden. God is always present. We're not searching for him. What we're trying to do is find out what he wants to do. We're trying to connect to him, or we have wisdom we need in an area. We want to find that out, what he knows that he can convey to us. So we're not searching from the standpoint. It's never the idea that we're searching for something that God's lost and we don't know where he's at. God's everywhere. You're not lost.
Amen.
And you know what? So these are the things that really changed for me from the areas that I thought made faith really easy. Because when I've got the point, God's present all the time. So he's always around.
Amen.
You know, when I got to understand that, and then people say, I'm going to pray that God goes with me. Well, if you're saved, he's going to go with you, whether or not, whatever you do. What you want to do is him cooperating with you if you're supposed to go where you're going. but not that he's going to go with you, because he is going to be there. He doesn't go someplace else. And, you know, people say, you know, the Bible says God never leaves you or never forsakes you. People use that term and then pray for God to go with it. You see how contradictory Christianity can be a real contradictory thing. This is one of the areas that I had trouble as a kid growing up. I thought that most of these people were insane because they were always double talking. They'd talk one way about God like this and that. Well, those two don't match. You can't say those two things together. They don't fit. You know? You can't have God with you all the time. On the other hand, he left you. It's like, hold it. What's going on? So, anyhow, we want to get over into this area because here we found that these people, the power of God is specifically said here, he's present to heal them. God wanted to heal these Pharisees and teachers. He wanted to. Well, as the story goes on, we don't have anything where any of them got healed or anything. But, he was present. This is why understand and knowing God, what He wants to do. This is not, you know, really by our thinking many times is why God can't manifest Himself. It isn't because God doesn't want to. It's our understanding, and this is why we need to gain knowledge of the Word of God. We need to gain knowledge of His character, what He likes to do, and then we can cooperate with that by faith. So if you know what He's doing, you have the knowledge to know what He wants to do, therefore you can believe for Him to do that, and He'll respond to you in that manner. Because we're going to find out with these individuals here concerning Jesus. In verse 18, it says, "Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay him before him." That was for Jesus. And he says, "And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus." So I want you to see, though, what these people are doing. In other words, they're not going to let anything stand in the way to get them what they want. You need to understand this about faith. If you don't have this kind of faith, you're going to find that there's many things that you'll never attain to. You're going to have to push through it. You're going to have to decide how bad you want it. See, most people will want something, but if it doesn't come easy, they'll quit. If it doesn't come right away, they'll quit. You know, what would you think of somebody, you know, Jesus was in your house and he came and started taking the roof off to get the guy down to get... They thought their friend's healing was more important than that roof. Amen. You won't find that in America. Your roof's more important than somebody getting healed. So these guys did. Nobody complained about it. But I want you to see this because of what is said in the next verse. It says this, verse 20. "When he saw their faith, he said to them, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" Now I want to see this. He saw their faith. See, faith is not something just spoken. It's seen.
Amen.
See, what they did. See, you can say all the right things and do the wrong thing. And what everybody's going to see is your wrong thing and not faith. They ain't going to see faith. They're going to see what you do. Jesus could see their faith. They believed that if they got this guy in the presence of Jesus, he was going to get healed. So what did they do? They're getting this guy in the presence of Jesus, no matter what. Why? They want him well. So what they do shows what they believe. And this is one of the things you want to do. You want to do that. As many times, people don't act in the areas of faith. I know one time I was listening over the years with Brother Hagin in Bible school and stuff, and him talking about things in areas of healing, like when he'd have like a big conventions or stuff and people get healed. And he said generally, only about a quarter of the people got healed who came forward. It's about a quarter got healed who came forward in his meetings. Well, see, one of the things that I noticed and I learned about this thing is about your faith. You have to do something for yourself. See, most people are going, they don't ever say a thing. They say, "Well, I believe." I don't care what you believe. You got to say it.
Amen.
See, you can believe Jesus is Lord, God raising the dead. You never confess it. You don't get saved. Well, healing's identical. You got to say something. You just don't get somebody to lay hands on you and it's just going to happen. There's something that you have to say. And so you have to say, then you got to act like it's so. Why are you going down to have hands laid on you if you're one of the people? What are you doing it for? To see what happens? See, I learned this. You want to get somebody to lay hands on you? I say, I'm going down there. When they lay hands on me, the power of God is going to go into me, heal me, or whatever it is. I say that. If you're a silent person, you'll probably go back to your seat silent and feel silent from then on out. You need to understand, you get on your voice, you say, my actions are going down there, my actions and my faith, I'm going down there to get something. I'm going to have it. This is what's going to happen. The hands laid on me, I'm going to receive that. See, that's one of the things is, you got to come to a place or a point where you receive. Now, I know how to receive without having somebody lay hands on me. I can just say, I believe I receive it right now in the name of Jesus, and you can do that. But you're going to have to decide a time when you receive it. Now, these guys, they believe they had to get in the presence of Jesus. Now, we read where guys said to Jesus, you just say the word and I'll be healed. That's all you got to do.
Amen.
Or Jesus spoke to them and said, you go and your servant's okay. Now, you need to understand, you have to have a time that you receive. Most people never do. They're always waiting to feel better, to have something. They don't believe they receive anything until there's something happens. Then I do. No, you got to receive it. When do you believe you receive your healing? Well, that's at the time that you get it, whether you feel it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Not the seen, the not seen. You believe you have something, you can either see or feel. That's when you receive it.
Amen.
See, get that in your mind. Well, now, you have to find a place or a time. When are you going to release your faith that you believe you're going to receive that? You have to have a time. Most people don't ever have that. You have to have that. You have to have a time that you specifically decide that you receive it. Right now, I believe I have it. Right now, I believe I got it.
Amen.
Now, I've done that many times, and it didn't seem like I got a darn thing. But I said, praise God, I got it. And I'd take time and just worship and thank you, Lord God. I'm so glad you healed me. I'm so glad. I don't feel a bit better. I might wake up the next morning and feel worse than I did the day before. But you know what I do? Praise God. I'm so glad I'm healed. He healed me. He took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. This is how you can't stand over time if you don't do that. Your body's going to yell at you and you're going to go, yes, body, you're right. I've been wrong. What you feel is the truth. So these guys, they got together and they're going to get this guy there. And so they take him in. They drop him down and they hear a shock. Why? Jesus says your sins are forgiven. This is one thing when you go to get ministered to somebody else, you pay attention. You pay attention. You preconceived ideas, you'll probably go back with nothing. Don't go to somebody to be ministered to you if you know it all. Don't go to somebody else to get ministered to if you know it all.
Amen.
If you know, why are you going to them?
Amen.
Think about it. Because just like Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Well, we want him healed. Well, he's going to get healed. Just cooperate. Amen. Jesus is listening. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. I don't say anything I don't hear. He's following the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's the minister.
Amen.
If you don't have confidence in the Holy Spirit, in the person, what on earth are you doing there? See, this is why you have to go. This is the faith life. Faith life ain't based on what you see or feel or your smarts.
Amen.
Because I found out a long time ago, I ain't met many smarts. Oh, I met a lot of people think you are. But I ain't met many. People have all kind of trouble. I've found this out. People think are really smart or people have a lot of problems in their life. Because if they had any smarts, they wouldn't have near amount of problems they do. I found that when God was smart, I got rid of a lot of problems. When I finally figured out he was smart. He was the genius. So, he said your sins are forgiven you. Why? He's there to minister. He's not just here to minister to this guy. He's here. There's healing power for those guys that are sitting there that came to teach. In fact, it's mentioned to them first. He's trying to get something across these folks. So understand this. You ain't the only person in the crowd. Ain't that awful? I thought God only moved for me. I thought all you guys were just trimming around. I thought it was all about me. Who would have ever thought it? Anyhow, so it goes, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But it says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? See, they hadn't spoke this thing. But Jesus here, the Holy Spirit let him know what they were thinking in their spirit. See, they're there thinking something. They ain't said it, but they're thinking it. Now, he ain't doing this to be mean to them. He's going to teach them. He's going to teach them. See, I found this out. Sometimes God knows exactly about what's going on in my heart, and he'll say it to me. And I thought, well, I never said that or did anything about it, but he knows. He knows. Why? Understand this. Faith is of the heart. It's not of your head. This is why a lot of people have trouble with faith. It's all about their mind. They're trying to operate in mental faith to try to bring to pass what requires their heart. The Holy Spirit's always going to try to bring you to faith in your heart. Faith in your heart is what you can bring to pass through saying with your mouth. Faith in your head will bring nothing to pass for you. Mental faith doesn't bring anything to pass. God brings to pass faith that's in your heart. What you believe in your heart, Jesus said, say with your mouth. He said, then what? You will have what you say. Why? What's in your heart. So he's going to minister then. He's not just, this isn't being mean to anybody. He knows. Then he said this, which is easier to say? He asked them a question. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. Which is the easiest to say? Well, then he made this statement. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. I'm going to let you know. How am I going to let you know that I have power to forgive sin? He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Do you know what he did? Healing is used by God to show that he has power to forgive sin. And people say healing's not important. It's secondary. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, which is the easiest? Every time I've taught this subject in Bible school for years, and students would always get this wrong in exam, and I'd talk to them about it in class, I'd say, Jesus just told us, it's just as easy to get healed as it is to get saved. It ain't no difference. And you know what? Students still, there's people are so stuck in their mind that they have been told over the years, people can't believe that. You know, you can be told things that you have received so much, you can't believe anything else, even though it's wrong. And most Christians got this wrong. We have this in Scripture. Right here it is in Scripture. Jesus said, what do you think Caesar do? Forgive sin? Heal? Ha! I'm going to show you how power to forgive sin. I'm going to heal him. See, you need to get in your mind. You know, how many of you, when you accepted Christ, it took you 5 or 6 weeks to get this thing to work? You got to. Oh, we expect that with healing. Oh, yeah. We expect it. And we get that more. We don't expect that God would just give that to us right away. We don't expect that. We don't have that expectation. Why don't we have that expectation? We have been drilled and drilled and drilled. Salvation is so easy. Healing's a sideline. No, it isn't. As a young Christian, when this stuff was revealed to me, and I was just so glad to find out as a young Christian on these things. But I found out it is still, I just, people sit in churches and they're taught, you know, like we had students coming out of Spirit-filled churches sort of taught the Bible. But really, they struggled terribly at healing. Struggled. People struggle terribly at healing. Now, I know it isn't difficult because I got it right away. So it can't be hard.
Amen.
Because I'm just telling you, I'm not a genius. But when I see something in the Word, I'm just this. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I don't care if 50 of the greatest ministers stand up in the world and say something. I don't care. If I see from the Scripture says it, I'm going to walk in that thing. Amen. And that's what you got to come to the thing where you get down this thing. It doesn't matter what you believe. Somebody told you or your favorite this or that. My favorite teacher is the Holy Spirit. He's
Amen.
My favorite.
Amen.
And he gives revelation. And get it within yourself. Number one, you're not going to get this if you don't go over and take this stuff and meditate on it. Revelation don't come because I just teach it. It don't come. It can come to you. But we found out, seeds planted, the devil can come immediately and take it away. Because I will guarantee you, you're going to have things happen in the natural, and people are going to say things that are going to come immediately to steal that out of you. You have the thing where you come to, I ain't going to let, no, I saw it, I see it, hallelujah. This is the way it is, I will have it no other way.
Amen.
Become convinced of the fact. Because God wants you convinced, He wants you well.
Hallelujah.
He wants it to be so easy for you when you're attacked that you just think right away, God wants me well. Yeah, this way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, healing belongs to me. Why would he put the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in you to make alive your mortal body and he wants you sick? That's the stupidest thing in the world. How can any, I just can't see how any Christian could be that ignorant. Now I know people that, well, you're being unkind. That isn't unkind. There is such demonic ignorance in the church. The Bible states so many things so clear that you have to be almost a little bit insane to think it says something else. And this is why we got to come down to things. There's been too much said, and we got to get down to. See, I don't pay attention to a lot of other stuff. I don't sit down and read 20 other books and stuff, and people, because I tell you, you can get so full of things and ideas of other people that you can get away from the Word. You know, this is why if I go over something, I go over even like listen. If I listen to a tape, to a tape, I might go over and listen to something, one sermon on it, something. I might spend months there because I go over the Word. I want to find out truth. If it's revelation is speaking to me, it's got to become mine. I don't care if the preacher got it. It has
Amen.
To become mine.
Amen.
If you don't believe the way I do, I don't care if you can say you believe the way I believe. But if you believe the way I do, there's things that you get a hold of right away.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, it's not bad. Because I found out there was other people that had it, and I decided I wanted what they had. I didn't want what everybody else got and what even other preachers said, how you had to do it. I found the guy could get it. I want to find out what he did to get it.
Amen.
What did he know that he got it? And the other ones are saying, oh yeah, you can have this stuff, but they can't get it. I want to find the guy that gets it.
Amen.
How does he get it? What does he know that I don't know? Mm-hmm. What does he figure out that I haven't figured out? Well, this is one thing. I got to get with the Holy Ghost and go to the Bible and get help. But Jesus said, okay, so you guys know now, I forgive sin, but I'm going to prove it to you I can forgive sin. I'm going to heal this man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, I like this Jesus. I like the Bible Jesus better than the one that lots of times Christianity throws out there. He's much better in the book. Hallelujah. I love it. It says, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now, this is a funny scripture because it said, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I mean, Jesus the healer been running these big things all the time, and we saw strange stuff. They're sitting right in the middle of it, and they didn't get the revelation. Jesus just gave them a revelation, and they didn't get it. We're not going to do that, are we?
No.
Say, that's not me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I accept revelation quickly.
Amen.
I respond to it quickly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have good understanding. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I am teachable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, a wonderful teacher.
Praise
glory
God.
To God. See, say those things about yourself.
Amen.
See, I never talk about struggling. I never struggle at
Amen.
This stuff. Why would I struggle with the best teacher that there could possibly be? What am I struggling for? The only thing is I do struggle is in my own ignorance.
Amen. Amen.
And I've done that already. We all have. We've all struggled in our ignorance. But hallelujah. But we have to me it's just a wonderful story here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love the determination of these guys. They want their friend healed. He can't get to Jesus. But you're going to find him. You see, he got healed on the way that they brought him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find this. The majority of the people, the personal people that get healed, they get healed on the way that they come and believe. You need to understand, you're generally going to get healed on the way you come, the way you do. God's going to mostly respond to your faith. He's going to respond to whatever your faith's doing. See, if you believe that you have to have somebody lay hands on you, there's nothing wrong with that scriptural way. You can have scriptural ways to have somebody lay hands on you. And that's what you're going to do, then you need to do that. Then that's what you need to do. Whatever it is that you decide. You decide you have to go to a special meeting over here somewhere and you got to get there and God will heal you there. Your faith is when you get there, you'll get healed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do that. I know people, I talk to people, well, I believe I'd go there and get healed, but they don't want to go there. I hate to take the time to go there. And you know what? They can't, I'll tell you what, I've done people's funerals and believe like that.
Mm-hmm.
They believe they could have went somewhere and got healed, but they wouldn't do it. Too lazy to go. Well, it's hard for me to get, yeah, okay. Say, I want healed here. Yeah, but you have no faith for it here. You ain't got no faith for it here. You're going to have to go where your faith goes.
Amen.
See, you can't quote one thing and go do another. So get it, just get it within yourself. To me, I love the fact, as I know this, that generally speaking, most of the time, God is the direction I go, God responds to me in the direction I head. If I see an area in His Word and I go to in that direction, generally that's the way He responds to me, is in that direction I go.
Amen.
Later I find maybe another area where I could go to it this way, you know, and He'd respond to me in that. You can find out about this, all the different ways that He does things. Sometimes I've had Him say specifically certain things He wanted me to do a certain way. Well, when the Holy Ghost takes you there, well then you do that.
Amen.
If He doesn't say anything, then just follow what your faith sees in the Word to do. Just follow that. God will respond to you. Usually, He will not respond to you if He wants you to do something else till you make a step of faith in the Word.
Amen.
Too many people say, I'm waiting on God. No, you don't. If you have no a step to do a faith and you get walking in it, don't you sit around and wait.
Come on.
Because I'm going to tell you what, it's like the old days, you know, we didn't have power steering. When I was a kid growing up, power steering was how strong you were to turn that wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And turning that wheel, let me tell you, when that car was sitting still, it was really hard to turn that wheel. I remember I was a little, real little kid. My brothers would work on the cars. They were older and they'd sit me behind the wheel and they'd want the steering wheel turned so they could work on it. Turn that steering wheel. Well, man, I had to put every bit of weight I had on that thing to try to get them wheels to turn. You know, it's just get them wheels turning. You know what? It was always easier to turn the wheel when the car's moving. And let me just say, that's your faith. Your faith ain't going to turn well at all. There's no power steering faith. You're going to have to get that thing moving.
Amen.
To get it to turn, and it gets easier. And God will get a hold of you and show you what to do. Walk in the light that you have. Always do that. Just walk in the light you got. Hallelujah. And God will help you. Why? Because He's good.
All the time.
Glory to God. Now we're going to look at Mark 5. There's another story here, another wonderful story dealing in the areas of faith. Again, we have here Mark the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. Mark 5. Mark 5 starts off, it says in verse 21, Mark 5 and verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him. He was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he had saw Him, he fell at His feet and begged Him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her that she may be healed and she'll live. So Jesus went with him. And a great multitude followed and thronged him. Now you're going to see this? He came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you got to come, lay hands, my daughter's dying. So what? Jesus is responding to his faith. He doesn't have anything else. If God wanted to do something else, he would have spoke to Jesus to tell him. He would have showed him. But what's he going to do? Jesus is going to follow the man's faith. This is what he's going to do. He's going to follow his faith. Understand about this thing. Don't matter what your faith is, you got to learn to connect with people where their faith's at. This is why many times that people don't do it, because they're trying to get a person to maybe their level and a person isn't there. But wherever their level is, you join them. Join their place. That's what you do. Find out where they can believe and what they can believe for. Hook up with them. Always ask them where they can believe. You know, this is where people, you know, I've done this already. I've stood and I've seen a person, you know, injured and stuff, and they're all sitting around and they're all, you know, saying this person and believing and all this stuff. And I just listened to them all talk for a while. And then finally I just stepped in and said to the person, what do you believe you need to do? And they said, I believe I need to go to the doctor. I said, well, then that's what we're going to do. All the rest of them people are sitting around there. They're all trying to do with their, and nothing's getting, the person suffering, and all the nincompoops are standing there. All these religious nincompoops are all standing around. We're believing. I said, hold it, hold it. The person wasn't there. The person wasn't cooperating. God doesn't override a person's faith just because you want to. So I said, what do you believe you need to do? She said, well, I believe I need to go. I need to go. And they did. They didn't have faith to get, they weren't going to take a hold of it. Now they were Christian and they were brought up around the Spirit, but they were very weak at it and everything else. So they're going to have to go do it. And that's the thing is, find out where the person's at.
Mm-hmm.
Get them what you can get best for them, you know. Mm-hmm. My God, let's help them. You know, we get them some help. You know, the person was in a ton of pain. And the biggest pains were the people standing around them trying to play like they were religious.
Amen.
They were causing more pain in a little bit. Person's in pain, needs help. You can't bring that thing to a halt right away. You better do something for the person. Just don't let that go. It's easy for you to stand there and say, well, how spiritual you are when they're the hurting.
Amen.
Like I always thought, I'd like to break each one of those legs out, one of them's legs there, to see what they do. How they like pain. You get people hurting, you want to help them. So get around to help the person, whatever, you know. There's one thing about it, you know, the person, lots of times people, if you can get, you know, the doctor, get pain under control, they can start to believe God. You can get them over into an area and get them some help spiritually. So do whatever you can to help the person. So, ruler of synagogue, Jesus is just going to follow him. This guy said he needs help. Well, now something comes along out here, and it says, verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, there's something we need to know about her. How did she know that she could touch his clothes? Well, one of the things it is, we read about Jesus' ministry. Jesus, in ministering to crowds, it said that people came and touched him. We read those. Remember we read those? People come and touch his clothes and they would get healed. She heard about that. But she took it seriously. She took it from the standpoint, well, if other people can get this, he'll do that for me. Mm-hmm. See, you have to do some reasoning for yourself. Because I will get down to you. I'm sure she had, these thoughts came to her, well, maybe he won't do that for me. Or maybe, you got to decide. See, I'm going to tell you, if God's going to heal anybody, he's going to heal him.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
That's right.
See, do you feel that way about you?
Amen.
She had to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's going to heal anybody, he's going to heal me if I get down there and touch him. See, most people, they don't think like that. Well, maybe he has a different plan. Maybe he has. No, Jesus is in the healing business. If he did it just for Ed, then that's the way it was. I did. If anybody in this earth, he's going to heal me. That's what he wants to do.
Amen.
Well, see, you got to think that way. You got to come to the place that when you see in Scripture that he would do something for someone, he'd do that for me. If you can't have faith. Impossible.
Amen.
These things were put in these scriptures. They were written for us. What were they written for? So we have nice stories to tell that don't ever happen for us. What are we doing? No. They're to happen to us so we can tell our story and don't have to keep repeating the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can tell my personal healing stories. I can go on and on and on with all the things.
Amen.
But see, that's what we're supposed to have. If you don't have your own testimony, you're just going to have to give somebody else's. And then you get people thinking, oh, he'll heal them, but he didn't heal them, but maybe he won't heal me either. No, I can tell them. They can know that if he'd heal me, he'd heal anybody.
Amen.
That's right. He healed me, he'll heal anybody.
Amen.
He can't be picky, he healed me. Hallelujah. See, get yourself in that area, that thinking, hallelujah, that he's gonna do this for me. So she had said this, she made a statement. Only I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. I'll be made well. I'm gonna be made well. All I gotta do is touch his clothes. She said it. And then what does she do? She's going after it. Do you see this? She's acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
She's acting on her faith. She didn't say, if I touch his clothes, I could be made whole. But it's really hard to get down there to go through because we find out he's this big crowd. They're pushing. When I find out this crowd's pushing around, this is, she's going to push her way through.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have to do something. You know, she's not full of strength. She's been losing blood all this time and getting all this problem she's going through. And I don't know if you know people about losing blood. They don't very usually very strong, are they?
No.
But she's going out after this thing. Well, when she touched him, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched my clothes? He's being pushed on all the time. I want you to see this. Only one person of faith in the whole crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person draws power out of him. You need to understand this. It's the same way if you go up for somebody to lay hands on you. I don't care how much you have in anointing. You're going to have to pull the power out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith will pull the power out. Jesus had the power to heal all the time, and it ain't going nowhere. Why? It's just like a socket. You don't plug the thing into the socket, it don't go. Faith is your plug for the receptacle.
Amen.
If you don't plug it in, power don't go. I can walk as close to that receptacle as I want and it don't do nothing. You can walk, you can go up without faith and you can rub on Jesus and you can do it and nothing happens. The power, see, without faith you can't please Him. God's a rewarder of those who please Him by faith.
Amen.
That's the way it works. This is how it works. Very simple thing. Hallelujah. She said, I touch Him, I'm getting well. That's what's going to happen to me. What happened to her? All them other people down there, you tell me, I'm going down, that crowd's full of sick people. Mm-hmm. They didn't hang around Jesus for any other reason.
Amen.
Because they didn't listen to His teaching all the time, did they? We found out about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just want healed, and they ain't getting healed. They're going along, and they ain't getting healed. We find out that there's two miracles that take place out of this thing, two people out of a multitude. Only two people are in faith. Sounds like the children of Israel to go into the land and two guys in faith and
mm-hmm.
out of the crowd. I'm going to tell you what, that's the way it usually goes. Everybody wants something. Everybody wants, but the faith thing, people just, like if I want it, just because you want something, God don't give it. Everybody in this world wants something.
Amen.
And they don't get it. So just wanting something, that ain't makes it work. Faith makes it work. This woman said, if I get down there, He'll heal me. Woohoo! We're going to get down there and get it. And she got it. Glory to God. And the disciples, they said, you know, who touches? See, He felt power go out of him. And said, and He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, I healed you. Did He say that? No. What did He say happened? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith made you well. If her faith could make her well, my faith can make me well too.
Amen. Amen.
Get that within yourself. God always responds to faith. There is never, He always responds to faith. Always responds to faith.
Amen.
Always responds to faith. I learned this. If He's not responding, it ain't in faith. Ed got to find out where He's missing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never God. It's never God. Well, God's holding out for a purpose. Yeah, you're special. Couldn't be that you'd ever be wrong about anything. Must be. I'm pretty perfect. It must be Him. God's not as bright, you know, as me. I'll tell you, I just... hallelujah, He's good. And the wonderful thing about Him, if you're missing it, just let Him know. Lord, I want to know what's going on. What's that? And you know what? He'll give you, if you ask wisdom, it says He gives it liberally, without reproach. You might have been dumb on the thing, but He'll give you wisdom without reproach. You know, being without reproach, if you actually look at that means in the Greek, it means He's not going to hold it against you. He's not going to hold it against you. Boy, am I glad He don't hold dumb against me. I'd have a lot held against me. I would have a lot held against me. But every time, see, if you respond to Him, He'll turn around and He'll help. That's just, that's God's nature. It never changes. He's always that way. He's always like that. Hallelujah. What a God. Yes. Well, He told her to go be a feast. So listen, verse 5. While He was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He turned to the ruler of the synagogue and said, do not be afraid, only believe. What did He say? Don't be afraid, only believe. Well, what was this man believing? This man is believing that if Jesus comes to his house and lays his hand on his daughter, his daughter's going to live. And Jesus is going to do exactly that. Jesus is going to treat that daughter as if she's not dead. He is responding to the man's faith. He's responding to the man's... He told the man... See, the man says, if you come and lay hands on my daughter to live, Jesus is going. Jesus is in... Really, what Jesus is doing here, we have agreement. Jesus agreed with him on where he's at. Not where Jesus is at. Jesus said, I agree with his faith. His daughter ain't dead. Let's go wake her up.
Amen.
Because it's what he says when he gets there. We know that she's dead because her spirit had to come back to her. She was dead. Jesus said she wasn't. Who was right? If Jesus would have played everybody else's game, she'd have never got up.
Right.
But he stayed. And one thing, thank God that Jairus stayed right in his faith. Jesus told him to do it, and he did it. He stuck right to it. Now, we find that he did this, and you need to learn to do this also. He goes down here. He said, don't be afraid. It says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Now, in other words, you don't take everybody with you. You better know who can believe and who can't. See, all of Jesus' disciples weren't the same in faith. You need to know that about Christians. You need to understand when you're in a tough situation, you know, it's good not to take the people along that don't know how to do this. It isn't being mean to them. It's just being smart. You don't want things that hinder your faith.
Amen.
You don't want things that hinder your faith. See, I find I've said this over the years. One of the worst things that ever happened. People want the minister to come and visit the people in the hospital and they want prayed for. And you go in the room and all their relatives are there and all of them are so full of unbelief and everything. You can't do squat in a place.
Amen.
They want you to pray. First thing I think about praying, God, in the name of Jesus, let's cast all these demons out of here. So we can get something done. I'm just telling you, you can't. People are yielded to all kinds of spirits and all kinds of things. And they're standing around.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, pray the prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, born again Christian, spirit filled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are more interested in their relatives than God being in the room.
That's right.
Man, you need healed, get healed, and then you have the relatives in the room.
Yeah. Amen.
But if you have to have their comfort around, this is why you're having a problem, because your comfort of the Holy Spirit's ignoring you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get over there, the Holy Spirit ignoring you.
Amen.
Well, you ain't going nowhere if the Holy Spirit ignoring you. You ain't going nowhere. So, Jesus takes them with him. He says, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a turmoil and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child's not dead, but sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what he's saying. He's talking about faith.
Yep.
You know, it's like he said, or one minister said, it's a lot easier to wake somebody up than somebody that's dead waking.
Right.
It's a lot easier to get them up. So Jesus is cooperating. Just the faith that started, that he followed, that he agreed with, faith, he stood with Jairus' faith. He moved. He's gonna wake his daughter. His daughter's gonna get healed. Now the people there says, when he said it, he said to them, why make this turmoil and weep? You know, he says, his daughter's asleep. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside,
mm-hmm.
Oh, this is where it gets real popular. This is where you get to be real popular.
Hmm.
Understand, these are religious Jews, or like today, religious Christians. Who do you think you are?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
Say, well, if we go with you, they're going to stay dead. That's what's going to happen here. They're going to stay dead if they stay with you. I know, I've been that. When Wanda's grandfather, we went in the room where he was at. There's getting Christians in there. And I'm going to tell you what, death was invited in that place. I mean, whether they liked it or not, they were worshiping death. Death, and I said to Wanda, I said, you can't do nothing in this place. I said, man, I said, this place, I said, the spirit of death is in here. And this, I said, you want to do it, you got to get out of here. You can't stay here. I've seen this many times. Christians don't recognize what spirit's operating on them. They don't see.
Come on.
They say they want something to happen, but they're moving in another direction.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
And after I got on the road and got out away from there, the Lord spoke to me, told me what to do, and he said, I'll make his last days better. He's first, and he raised him up. The guy lived 5 years past that.
Praise God.
But if I'd have stayed there, we would have got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have died that night.
Yep.
So you got to get away from that. Well, Jesus doing the same thing here. They ridiculed him. He was smart. He put him out. And it says, and he, you know, he said that they ridiculed him. He said he took the father, the mother, the child, and those who were with him and entered where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumai, he said, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, rise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. He told him, don't tell, don't, in other words, these people, don't talk to them about it. Gee, that's from God, don't it? You know what Jesus say? What Jesus tell disciples? Anyone in a place, you go out there and they don't accept you, say, could you just touch off your feet? Don't stand there and try to explain the stuff to them.
Amen.
That's not what we do in the church world. The church world, we try to make everybody figure out everything. You better listen to the Holy Ghost on Amen. What to do. Don't cast pearls before swine.
Amen.
These people were swine. Jairus is trying to get his daughter raised. They're out there. They're more interested in have their wailing contest going on out here. You know? And so, I just encourage it. Now, Luke makes the statement. Luke is one that makes it into his. He says about her spirit came back to her. In other words, she was dead. Her spirit came back to her. But see, understand, they're not speaking. See, faith is not the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. He didn't walk in or tell him what he saw. It's not what he's speaking. He's speaking words of faith. Mm-hmm. He's saying about what he has agreed with Jairus that they believe. That he's going to go in there and touch her and she's going to get up. Mm-hmm. He's going in there and wake her up.
Yep. Amen.
This is what we're going to do. So when he spoke to those people, he was speaking what he agreed with Jairus. See, they thought he's a nut. He's not a nut. He just followed what Jairus said. See, it's the power. One of the things I learned about this years ago is where Christians lots of times miss it. Because sometimes in the battle of faith, and faith is a battle, it's a fight. It's a good fight of faith, but it's a fight. And in the good fight of faith, things change sometimes in the middle of your belief. And things start going another direction. And there's one thing you need to do, is don't start changing your faith to something else.
Amen.
Because what happened in the natural has changed. That is one of the great failures. I've watched people die when people did that. I'll just tell you a story. One of the things, as a young Christian, and I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, I learned from this. Since then, I see what happens. Brother Hagin was doing a meeting at a church. And there was a woman who was in the, who's at church, was very ill and that stuff. It wasn't at the service. And a lady come in the service and they were having the worship and the worship was over. And she had been at this lady's house and she said, the doctors don't give a really good report and, you know, sister so-and-so died. And she said, we need to pray for her. And they prayed for her. And she miraculously started recovering. So a night or two later, this lady comes in again at the same time and said, yeah, the doctor said she's doing better than that things, but we need to pray and ask God to complete the healing. And the pastor and all them joined in and they did it. And when they prayed, the Spirit of the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, she'll be dead in 3 days. He said, they're in unbelief now. They said, they don't believe I'm going to finish this thing? No. You see, people, I've seen that thing happen already where people, things starting to turn around, they want something quicker. So we're going to ask God to do it. Like, hey, God's working. Instead of they should come back and then, hey, let's praise and thank God what he's doing. No, God, you know, he didn't heal her completely. So we got to ask him to completely heal her. You know, most of the time with most people, you know what's going to happen? You're going to recover. Most of the time you don't have instantaneous healings. I've had instantaneously, but I've many times just recovered.
Mm-hmm.
You just come on. We lay hands on the sick and it didn't say they instantly get healed, does it?
Amen.
We lay hands on the sick and what happens to them?
They recover.
Oh! Who thunk it? Who ever thought the word was that important? See, we get in our minds and in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring stuff to a stop. Don't get into that. Hallelujah. I lay hands on them. They're going to recover. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what's going to happen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're going to recover.
Hallelujah.
See, stay with the Word. Don't get out of faith and get over into other stuff.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, we'll look at other people. And this, to me, it is so marvelous to look at Jesus the healer. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Keep it simple. Don't get over into all the things. Don't make another religion.
Amen.
Don't make another thing. Say, well, it happened this way, so let's come on. I'm going to tell, if the Bible says that that's it, I try to keep my thinking out of it on the way it is. And I'll tell you what, it works.
Amen. Praise God.
It works to keep it over there, and that's keep it simple. But get settled in your fact, God wants you well. That's just...
Amen.
Wouldn't that be... You know, it's like God wanting people to go to hell, and he sent Jesus. I mean, that'd be the dumbest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that same Jesus that went to that cross took your infirmities and bore your sickness.
Amen.
It would be just as stupid to say he wanted you sick. Hey, thank God. He's working in me. Hallelujah. My body might be yelling and saying all kinds of things. I don't care what it says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm recovering. I'm getting better all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight because your love is so incredible. And Lord God, I want to thank you that faith is simple. It's easy. And I, Lord God, we just want to be simple people to simply believe what your word says. To be very simple, Lord God, in our understanding, Lord God, in our response to you, to your goodness and great kindness and mercy. Lord, there's many voices saying all kinds of things, but there's only one voice that we're interested in, and that's yours. And I want to thank you. Your voice is such a blessing and so sweet to us, and it's so good. It does so many wonderful things for us, and we just want to hear that voice. And Lord God, when we hear that voice, when you reveal the word to us, we're just going to believe it because we're believers. That's our nature. We're just going to believe you. Hallelujah. And you're just going to respond to us. It's just like the scripture says, how we call on you, you respond to us quickly. And I want to say thank you for that. Hallelujah. That you're quick to respond to your people. And we just love you for it. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.